Episode 40, Discipline. In previous episodes, I have spoken about five facets that are important to a warrior's mindset. These are courage, composure, determination, selflessness, and honour. But where does discipline fit into all of this? We often hear the word discipline thrown in as one of the most important aspects of the ideal warrior. It is a key component to the armed forces, the police, and many martial arts and self-help programs. So why don't I mention it as one of my five tenets of a warrior mindset? First of all, let me define discipline as I see it. It is making promises to yourself that you keep. I am not talking about external discipline, you know, the type enforced on you from someone else. I mean self-discipline. For instance, if you decide to wake up early every morning and you set an alarm and you get up every day at your new time, then that is a form of discipline. Perhaps you decide that you will refrain from eating too much sugar. You remove any foods high in sugar from your house and you promise yourself that you will not buy any sugary foods. Whenever you are out with friends and they offer you a sweet or fizzy drink, you politely decline. You are showing discipline. Perhaps you want to be in better shape and buy a gym membership. You decide to work out at the gym Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You set a schedule on your phone to remind you and you stick to it. Discipline. In all those examples, a decision has been made and the only person holding you accountable is yourself. Where does discipline fit into the five tenets of the warrior mindset? I see it as the glue that binds all the other factors together. Without discipline, a warrior cannot develop courage, composure, determination, selflessness, or honour. These tenets are not easy to obtain by pure luck and take effort to get good at. Discipline is the pathway to get there. DJ Vanis has some great stuff to say about discipline in his book, The Warrior Within. He says this: we don't control much in this world beyond what we think, say, or do, but our ability to execute focused, consistent action is something we can control, and we can see great results when we do. Discipline gets a bad rap because more often than not, we've experienced it as something done to us, and frequently in a punitive or harsh manner. But our talents and abilities go to waste if we can't harness them through the power of self-discipline. End quote. He goes on to say, discipline is doing what we need to do when we need to do it, even if we don't feel like it. Even if we don't feel like it. There lies the challenge in being disciplined. I will come back to this point later. Again, returning to DJ's book, discipline gives us structure and stability. When we practice doing a few things each day toward the direction of our goals, we prevent the feeling of overwhelm that comes with trying to do everything in one day. End quote. Discipline is very important to warrior cultures and therefore a warrior mentality. Alice Amda quotes Araki Munensai, the founder of Araki Ru, by saying, "You must train incessantly, make your practice a friend in the morning, and your discipline to be your pillow at night." End quote. This was written somewhere in the 1600s. DJ Vanis bases his information in his book on Native American warrior culture. These tribes are predicted to have been on their lands for some 20,000 years before colonizers showed up. This idea of discipline is very old. Why is discipline so important in a warrior culture? Discipline sits very closely with honour. As I mentioned in episode 38, honour requires a warrior to follow a code of restraint. This restraint is enforced by the members of that warrior community and it keeps everyone in check. This is a form of discipline. No matter how tough things get, this is how we behave, this is what we do. From that episode, I also mentioned that these warrior codes provide protection against moral injury. Discipline is the tool used by the warrior to manifest honour, develop courage, remain resilient, and make the right choices in times of crisis. But what about the rest of us, those of us not in the military? Discipline allows a person to develop habits or change old, unhelpful ones. By sticking to a chosen path day in and day out, new habits form. This is discipline in action. So let's talk about forming or changing habits for a moment. This is where discipline becomes a superpower, because if you can make a decision that leads you to a long-term goal and stick to it, you are almost unstoppable. So how long does it take to form a habit? You may have heard it takes about 21 days, but this is a fallacy spread by self-help gurus and based on some work done by Maxwell Maltz, a plastic surgeon in the 1950s. Maltz actually wrote that his patients take a minimum of 21 days to get used to their new faces after a nose job or after having a limb removed through amputation. So how long does it actually take? Philippa Lally is a health psychology researcher at University College London. In a study published in 2009 in the European Journal of Social Psychology, Lally and her research team decided to figure out just how long it actually takes to form a habit. The study was called How Are Habits Formed? Modeling Habit Formation in the Real World. They discovered that on average it takes more than 2 months before a new behavior becomes automatic, 66 days to be exact. And how long it takes a new habit to form can vary widely depending on the behavior, the person, and the circumstances. In Lally's study, it took anywhere from 18 days to 254 days for people to form a new habit. 66 is just the average. So it's not going to be easy to change a habit or create a new one without some effort. What I find interesting is that some habits we are trying to break, what we would call our bad habits, still come about in the same way, through repetition over time until they were ingrained. We just didn't notice the habit forming because we weren't paying attention to how often we were doing that particular behavior. Take eating poorly, for example. Perhaps you stop by a fast food outlet on the way from work because it's on the way home and it's cheap. But if you work a normal 5-day week, that means you are eating at that place 5 out of 7 days of the week. You do it consistently every month, and before you realize it, you have been doing it for 66 days, minus the weekends. Now, when you drive home, it's just what you do. You find the car turning into the drive-thru without even thinking. And just think about this for a moment. If it takes on average 66 days for that bad habit to form, it won't be an easy fix to break it. You will have to put in at least that much, perhaps more time, reversing the damage as you form a new habit to replace this one. This is where discipline really becomes important. You have loved eating at that fast food restaurant. It tastes great, full of fat, sugar, or salt. Your body might even crave it, but you have to be strong. You have to be disciplined. As I mentioned earlier, the real test comes when you have to do something you don't really like. Forcing yourself to drive past that fast food place means other parts of your evening will now have to change. What are you preparing for dinner? Did you meal prep on the weekend so you have something to heat and eat when you get home? Or are you looking in the cupboards and starting from scratch? It's going to be hard to stay on track, right? This is discipline. Discipline is the path to long-term goals. Short-term rewards are going to try and interfere with that. The problem with short-term rewards is that they are short-term. Once you get your hit, whatever that might be, you haven't made much progress. In some cases, you might have moved further from your long-term goals, and you'll be after the next hit. Ultimately, discipline often means putting off your immediate comfort or impulses in favor of long-term success. People who show good discipline don't wait until the right time to take action. Sometimes it can never feel like the right time to start changing a habit or forming a new one. Simply making the decision to start and sticking to it is all that matters. People are very good at coming up with excuses as to why they shouldn't start something new. These excuses can be very convincing. I will wait for the kids to be older. I will wait until summer. I will wait until I have a bit more money available. If you really want to make a change, you will adapt accordingly. Kids too young? Wait until they are in bed, or at kindergarten, or at school. Waiting until summer? Why? More daylight? Better weather? Do it in the dark, in the rain if you have to. Need more money? Adapt. When I first started my koryu training, I only had budo gear from my aikido practice. The bokken was the wrong length and proportions, and I didn't have the wide belt required for a sword. I didn't even have a sword. So I trained with my stunted bokken, wore my normal aikido belt, and started saving money. In the meantime, I had started koryu training, and I was making progress. This, in fact, motivated me even more to get my money together for the correct gear. This one I see a lot in the fitness industry. The new person to the gym arrives in the new fancy gear, ready to transform their body, only to last about a month and then quit. I'm sure those of you who have been practicing martial arts see the same thing in your places of training. The new guy turns up, buys all the gear, then disappears when they realize the grind ahead. Start with what you have and just go for it. The biggest barrier people see to making change is a lack of time. If you're really serious about seeing progress, then make the time. Have a look at your normal working day. If you're like me, you can find places in your day that I might call dead time. Scrolling on the phone is a great example. You're not actually doing anything productive when you scroll on your phone, but you can literally sit there for half an hour before you realize what you are doing. I've caught myself many times. How do you spend your lunch breaks? Can you fit in some physical exercise in that time? This might be just getting out of the office and going for a 15-minute walk. Imagine how that could change your life if you did that every lunch break, no matter the weather. Another dead time for me can be the evenings. The time after the family dinner can just turn into screen watching. I'm tired, I've had a big day, and I just want to relax. Perhaps I can find other ways to relax, like write a podcast script instead, or read a book on budo or warriorship that will then inform my next podcast episode. My point is, if you look at your day honestly, you will probably find time in there somewhere to replace one behavior with another. Another thing you can do to help stay on track is make very specific changes. For instance, instead of saying, I want to get in better shape, or I want to go to the gym, you might want to say, I will get up at 6 a.m. every morning and walk for 30 minutes. Or, I will spend 40 minutes at the gym 3 times a week following the program they suggest. Finally, I would like to caveat everything I've said with this. Manage your workload. You are better off starting with something small and working up to more ambitious goals. If I look back at the last 15 years, I have changed my lifestyle dramatically. But from 1 year to the next, these changes have been small. I might have had a goal of eating better 1 year, another year it might have been working on my career or my martial arts practice, and so on. The trick, though, is that whatever small change I made, I adhered to it from then on. All these small changes accumulate into quite a marked transition years later. Also, it is okay to change goals and practices as your life demands it. What might have been right for me as a 25-year-old is not right for me now. Having good discipline can flow over into many areas of your life. Once you prove to yourself that you can make and then reach long-term goals, you might find that your mental health improves. Obviously, if your discipline is being put into physical activity, then your physical health can improve. You can have better relationships with friends, family, and loved ones. You might naturally become more resilient as you learn to push through with a project, and you might even end up happier in general. That's all I have to say for today. If you liked what you heard, perhaps you could share this podcast with someone you know, or let me know why you liked it. You can contact me on my Instagram account, which is mushishugyopodcast, or email me at mushishugyopodcast@gmail.com. I also have a Patreon account if you wish to support me that way. Now for the quote of the episode. I am pulling this quote from an article from George H. Bristol. I covered his article in detail in episode 23, The Professional Perspective, and I often find myself going back to this article and reading it again. There is something about it that strikes a chord with me. Anyway, I thought this passage was apt for today's topic. Training is training, and weather is not a factor. What's right is right.